Braves fans, Mac McGee here with Braves Country Radio. You can find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all postseason long. Hear us right here on the radio or find us on YouTube today. You can jump in the chat with all the Braves fans during the game and listen along as the Braves march through Choptober. That's Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. And this week, we are bringing you the wild card round. We'll bring you the big game of the day right here on Braves Country Radio. Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your home for the classic call, Braves Country Baseball.
You're in Braves Country.
Good afternoon, Braves Country. We got a big show in front of us today. With it being the day after the last game of the season, we're heading into postseason. We are going to bring you something a little different later on in the show. We're going to go to a Once Upon a Pastime, Pioneers of the Game. If you haven't heard this series, we're just going to dive in to the Pioneers of the Game on this episode. But we're doing a lot of this stuff. We're going to do many more episodes during the off season. Basically, it's getting an appreciation for the history of this great game. And we do have some stuff planned for the world of football, college football, NFL, etc. But basically, for fans who don't have time to dig into stuff, we're going to dig in for you, and you'll learn some stuff along the way, and I promise you it's a lot of fun. But before we do that today, got so much stuff to dive into. We're going to start off with the world of football, then we're going to get into the baseball matchups, and we're going to do that all very, very quickly. Let's go ahead and start with the world of football, as going to dive in real quick on the armchair top 10, because there was a lot of moving and shaking going on in the world of college football this past weekend. We do want to hit that up, and then we're going to go to the NFL, and obviously we're going to talk about Major League Baseball and the playoffs that are being set. We're going to talk about the games that we're going to cover, et cetera, et cetera. So let's go ahead and get into it. When you talk about the world of college football and how everything played out the other night, obviously probably the biggest win, most important win of the weekend, I'll put it that way. We're not going to call it a big win because a lot of people do not believe in the world of Duke football. But no matter how you look at it, Notre Dame kept themselves relevant. They kept themselves in the conversation by going in and getting the big win, a come-from-behind victory against Duke. At Duke, the Duke quarterback evidently left on crutches. We'll have to see how that all plays out. But the short of it is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish get the big win, and they stayed in the AP top 10. Now, I'm going to give you the AP top 10 real quick, and then I'll give you mine. We do the armchair top 10 every single Monday. Tuesdays, we do the Power 5 ranking of the National Football League. So we look forward to that. Of course, we obviously wait till Tuesday for the NFL because you still have the Monday night game to play out, and you never know how that's going to affect things. So real quick on the AP top 10, this is what you got. It's Georgia. They got 35. Now, you'll notice something with the new poll. The number one votes are kind of splattered. It's not like it was the beginning of the year where Georgia was getting the majority of the votes. But Georgia got 35 number one votes. Michigan, 12. Texas, 10. Ohio State, 1. Florida State got 4. And that was it as far as number one votes. So it's Georgia, Michigan, Texas, Ohio State, and then Florida State rounds out the top five. Number six is Penn State, Washington, Oregon, USC, and Notre Dame. That is not the armchair top 10 because I use common sense and I don't vote according to who I'm covering every day. I try to encapsulate the entire world of college football. So, and I will explain this, why I picked these, why I picked them, and why none of this matters for next week. It's all fluid with me. With me, it is not the entire season, per se, not looking ahead on who I think might beat who on a neutral field. I look at what have you done this year. I still contend. Well, I'll finish off with that thought. All right, my number 10 team is the Oklahoma Sooners. Oklahoma, they're undefeated. One of the reasons why I'm putting them there is because they have a big showdown with Texas this Saturday, noon Eastern, the Red River Rivalry. So glad that they went back to that nickname. I forget what they changed it for the last few years, but it was something goofy that I believe AT&T or something had something to do with it. And anyways, Red River Rivalry, it's back. I think they called it the Red River Showdown or something. I don't know. It was goofy. Red River Rivalry, though difficult to say quickly, has much of a you always love the alliteration, right? You always love it. So they're facing off this weekend, and Oklahoma will have a chance to prove it on the field. That's why I don't look at this as a big deal, putting Oklahoma there above a couple of other teams, because they will prove it on the field, and if they do not belong, they will be gone. My number nine team, this will shock a lot of people, but once again, they will have a chance to prove it on the field this Saturday. It is the ESPN night game. The Kentucky Wildcats are my number nine team in the country. They absolutely manhandled Florida. Now, look, I do, and I almost put Oklahoma above Kentucky, but neither Oklahoma or Kentucky really played anybody. They're both getting involved in a big showdown this Saturday, and they're going to prove it on the field. Kentucky goes to Georgia. Oklahoma is going to be on a neutral field, but they play Texas. The rubber's going to meet the road. I like Kentucky, what they've done. Do I think they're going to win in Athens on a Saturday night? No, I do not. But they deserve a top 10 ranking considering what they did. They absolutely beat the brakes off of Florida. So that's the armchair top 10 there. All right. My next team in the land, this is, they are on shaky ground with me, but I give them the benefit of the doubt because they did win on the road and everybody has a shaky outing. Washington Huskies, they're number seven in the polls. I've got them at number eight, and I can't in good conscience drop them out of my top 10 just because they struggled on the road with a weaker opponent, because Georgia did the same. Florida State has done the same. So it'd be a little disingenuous for me to say, well, you got to take Washington out. They're undefeated. They're going to have an opportunity in their own right as their conference schedule plays out. But right now, they are a very shaky number eight. And honestly, you could talk me into putting them at number 10. I know everybody's enthralled by Penix and what he's been doing with that offense, but I'm still not convinced. When you talk about Washington football, they normally don't step up on the big stage, and that's why I have a hard time keeping them up there. But I do give teams the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. Number 7 team in the land. Oh, this team, they're not getting enough respect. They're number 8 in the poll. I almost had them a little above, but because their wins have not been against quite the opponents that the others above them are, I'm leaving them at 7, but it is a strong 7 pushing up. The Oregon Ducks went out after a big emotional win against Colorado. I know Colorado's not the end-all, the beats-all, but that was a hyped game, and it was a letdown spot for Oregon. And granted, Stanford is not your older brother Stanford team. The Stanford team is bad. But I thought there was a possibility for them to possibly be sluggish. They didn't. They went in there, pounded them 42-6. They took the foot off the gas in the second half, but Oregon is my number 7 team. And the one asterisk I would put on that is you could argue them into the top 5 at this point in the country. You really could. But I've got to see them against better competition. Okay. The number 6 team in the country. This will get pushed back for all you Big Ten fans. But Ohio State, I'm still not convinced their offense is that great. They have a very good defense. But their offense has sputtered all year long. And if they go up against a team that can put points up on the board, unlike Notre Dame, we've seen what Notre Dame's offense has been. Notre Dame cleaned the clocks of the weaker teams, but they went on the road at Duke and struggled mightily to move the ball. So there you have that. Ohio State stays at number 6. Number 5 in the country. This one does match up with the AP poll. I'm sticking with Florida State at number 5. And though I do believe they possibly could be one of the top 4 teams right now and probably are, the one thing I will say is they struggled on the road against Boston College, and they won the turnover battle, et cetera, got some big plays. But they were very, very, very fortunate to win on the road at Clemson. And if we don't see an improvement in quarterback play from Jordan Travis, because I believe he's injured, if we don't see that, it's hard for me to put them above the other teams on this list. So I'm sticking with Florida State being at number 5. They did move up a notch or two, but all in all, I can't put them in the top 4 right now. They're gonna have opportunity to prove it. Don't get me wrong. But right now, and they were on a bye week, so you don't gain brownie points because you didn't struggle on your bye week. But I gotta leave them there, and we'll have them at 5. You could talk me into Ohio State being ranked above them, but you might want to point to the Notre Dame win if you're Ohio State. Florida State beat LSU, pounded LSU. LSU went on the road in a night game in Oxford and went toe-to-toe with Ole Miss, who gave Alabama one hell of a fight until late in the second half. So LSU is a solid team. I know a lot of LSU fans are probably griping this week, but honestly, LSU's pretty darn good. What LSU's got to fix? LSU's got to fix the defense, because Florida State hung 45, and it could have easily have been 50-plus. Easily. They took their foot off the gas. So Florida State's 5. Penn State is number 4. Penn State has been very impressive, and I can't wait for some of their showdowns as Penn State, Nittany Lions. They are going to be a fun, fun team to watch as we get closer and closer to when their games are actually going to be stepped up. Because right now, Penn State has played absolutely nobody, and I get it. But they've been impressive in the nobodies that they've played. You look at the Penn State schedule, it gets real October 21st. So we're 2 weeks from Saturday. it gets real October 21st. They are off this week. Then they play UMass, which that better not be close. And then they're at Ohio State. And after they play Ohio State, they will play Michigan. And that's pretty much the Penn State schedule. I know our colleague, Tampa Tones, made some funnies about the Georgia schedule, but there really is no leg to stand on when you look at that schedule of Ohio State. Penn State. Penn State's schedule is absolute garbage. That's why if they lose a game, I don't put them in the playoffs. They lose one game, Penn State's gone. Because they didn't play anybody out of conference. And to me, that's the difference. So if Ohio State loses a game, they can still fight their way back in. Penn State, to me, you lose one, you're gone. They've been paper tigers for many, many years, but they'll have a chance to prove it in 2 weeks against Ohio State. So we put them at number four. For now. Number three. Man, I've gone back and forth and forth and back on this. This is more of a gut feeling than this is what's been proven on the field one way or the other. Michigan's been very impressive, but number three is Michigan and number two is Texas. And Texas is going to have an opportunity to prove it on the field this week. Michigan continues to play Cupcake City. They're in Minnesota this week. It's a bit of a more of a challenge of what they've had. But you look at the Michigan, and granted, Michigan has pummeled every team they've played. But it's East Carolina, Las Vegas, Bowling Green, Rutgers, and Nebraska. That is not murderer's row by any stretch. Michigan is in the same boat that Penn State is in. They don't play anyone out of conference. Our conference schedule is absolute garbage. They play at Penn State on November 11th. They play at home against Ohio State on November 25th. They don't play anybody out of conference. Their conference schedule is weak, and that's why I have a hard time keeping Michigan above Texas. Texas belongs there, though Michigan's been improved. Impressive. And Georgia is obviously the number one team. I stick to my guns. I know they were not impressive this week, but defending two-time national champion tells me they've got the pedigree in the stables. Those horses are going to run, and they will be tested. So I don't worry about putting a team up there like Georgia, who may have a pretty favorable regular season schedule. But when it's all said and done, they will be tested. They're going to play Kentucky this weekend. I know that's not the most daunting task, especially because it's in Georgia. But Kentucky's looked physical. Kentucky's looked good. Kentucky, I believe, is going to give Georgia a game. If Georgia blows them out, then they've really proved something. And then at the end of the month, they play the Gators. The Gators, they're overrated. They've been overrated all year long. I talk about it on the Armchair Quarterback Kickoff Show. Everyone scoffed. Told everyone that when Florida was being projected at six wins, that was being very generous. Everyone scoffed because they went out and beat Tennessee. Tennessee is not last year's Tennessee team. I believe the entire program's on the right direction, but they're not last year's Tennessee team. Florida, though they are not a juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination this year, they are good enough on the ground, and it is a rivalry game at a neutral site that gives Florida a puncher's chance. But the rest of the schedule, Georgia should play very favorably at home against Missouri and Ole Miss, and then they go to Knoxville. Everyone was pointing to that as being the stumbling block. Tennessee looks like they are not. I just don't see how Milton is going to carry that team. I would be more concerned if I'm Georgia in the stretch of playing Florida, Missouri, and Ole Miss. And though One's on a neutral site and the other two at home. It's back to back to back, and you're bound to have a letdown somewhere. It's good for them that they do not have a bye week, or that they do have a bye week, excuse me, right before the Florida game, so it gets their batteries recharged. Kentucky is probably the best team left on their schedule. And then, of course, the SEC championship game. But right now, Georgia is the number one team in the land. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, the National Football League. Hey, Braves fans. Mac McGee here with Braves Country Radio. You can find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all postseason long. Hear us right here on the radio or find us on YouTube today. You can jump in the chat with all the Braves fans during the game and listen along as the Braves march through Choptober. That's Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. And this week, we are bringing you the wild card round. We'll bring you the big game of the day right here on Braves Country Radio. Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your home for the classic call, Braves Country Baseball. It's Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
You're in Braves Country.
Okay, real quick. We're going to hit the NFL before we hit the Once Upon a Pastime series. And we are going to dive into the world of Major League Baseball and look at the playoffs real quick on that one, because no one's really set their lineups for the games for the entire series. We're going to take a much deeper look tomorrow, but you'll get the gist. The NFL... realistically, what stood out, what jumped out at us? Look, week four is where the rubber starts to meet the road. Said it before, and I'll continue to say it. First 3 weeks of the NFL season, in today's NFL season, are background music. Because you don't have a real preseason anymore, and these teams go out, and they kind of muck it up the first couple of weeks. And we saw it. We saw some teams that we thought were really good lose some games, et cetera, et cetera. Week four and going into week five, you're going to start seeing the team's personalities. A couple of things that jumped off the screen that a lot of – I'm going off reactions from other folks as well. Everyone's up in arms about the Steelers flop in Houston against the Texans. Don't be. The Texans are an exciting team. When you play on the road, the National Football League, it's always tough. I do not believe the Steelers are, I don't believe the sky is falling by any stretch of the imagination. Everyone thought that in week one, then they rattle off a couple of big wins in week two. It's matchups, it's preparation, it's game plans. That's what wins and loses games in the NFL. The Vikings kept their head above water as they went in and won in Carolina. Not an impressive win. But look, the Panthers stink. You got to win that game. If the Vikings lost that game, I believe Kirk Cousins would have been traded possibly this week. Now, he could still get traded because he's at the end of a contract. But if they're 0-4, that would have been Katie bar the door. Other games of reaction. Jaguars beat the Falcons. Look, Dennis Ritter just, he's not it. And I do believe that they made a big, big mistake. And maybe this comes down to the coaching staff in general. They made a huge mistake last year not letting him start in early in the season over Mariota last year to give him an opportunity just to learn. And then this year would have been looked upon, all right, sophomore year, get out of the slump, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, he doesn't look like he's it, but these are growing pains that rookie quarterbacks have, and he's essentially a rookie quarterback. So, with all that being said, I don't know if they're going to give up on Ritter as quickly as fans would like him to, like them to. I for one, want to see what Taylor Heineke can do. I don't want to give up on the season because the division is so bad, we can win this damn thing. The division is awful. Baker Mayfield is leading the division. This division can be had by a Taylor Heineke. But I don't think they're going to give up on him. I think they're going to say, look, these are growing pains, et cetera, and they believe that no matter what they do this year, they'll probably have a job next year, and next year will be the rubber meeting the road. Well, here's the problem with that. Falcons fans don't want to see another craptastic year where there's no real signs of progress. They spent all that money on defense. The defense looks good. Bijan Robinson looks outstanding. But once again, the ball is not getting to Kyle Pitts and Drake London. I don't know what else to say about that, but disappointing performance to say the least. The Jaguars got the win. Jaguars were not necessarily that impressive, but the Jaguars needed that win. Bills blow out the Dolphins. I had this, and I felt like the Bills were going to throttle them. Dolphins had not seen the defense that was thrown at Tua and company. They were solid, but they were not this explosive, unbeatable offense. And I think most of us knew that. Broncos and Bears, that basically Denver kept their head above water in the toilet bowl. The Bears blew an incredibly large lead. Was it 28-7 at home, and then you lose 31-28 to a bad Broncos team? There's some major, major questions in Chicago, and it's not just about Justin Fields. It's about the entire coaching staff. I mean, how did he look so explosive last year, and they're not using any of those types of plays to get him going this year? They're trying to make him a drop-back quarterback. He's not. He's Lamar Jackson 2.0. Let him run. Titans blow out the Bengals. This did not shock me at all. The Titans had just gotten blown out. There's always an overreaction from the week before on the lines and whatnot. But the Bengals, Joe Burrow is hurt. He's injured. He's playing injured. He's not playing hurt. He looks terrible. The Rams go out and get a big W at the Colts after blowing an incredible 23-0 lead. They then, in the third quarter, they then squander that lead, get to overtime, and somehow get the W. How about Puka Nacua? That guy, man, early stages, but rookie of the year. Talked about this a second ago. Bucks down the Saints. They're 3-1. Saints 2-2. Falcons 2-2. We'll get more into that as the week goes on. Raiders, Chargers. Raiders had a chance to come back and win this game if you missed it. Once again, Brandon Staley, he has got 9 lives. He has made 2 incredibly terrible decisions as a head coach to go forward on 4th down on his side of the 50 with the lead. And somehow, boneheaded interceptions have saved his season. They're 2-2. They're a terrible 2-2. Cowboys look like the Cowboys of early part of the season. Blow out the Patriots. Mac Jones is terrible. The Patriots are terrible. They got to figure something out there. And we all know how hard-headed Bill Belichick is. I don't know if it's coming. But he did bench Jones for Zappe in the second half. We'll see if that continues. But not like Zappe set the world on fire. Hell, they scored 3 points in the first quarter, and that was it. 49ers pound the Cardinals. No shocker there. I'll tell you right now, if you're looking for a quarterback at the trading deadline and you're trying to figure things out and you feel like your team has a chance, Joshua Dobbs. I mean, he has been absolutely impressive the way he carries that team. They didn't have a great showing yesterday, per se, but that's probably the best team in football, San Francisco. He continues to make plays. And then Sunday night's game, Taylor Swift versus the city of New York. Chiefs win 23-20. Terrible, terrible calls by the umpires, referees, the side judges, you name it. Awful job. And it seems downright crooked what went on at the end of that game. You know, you had the pass interference call that would have been an interception. And everyone's talking about it. It's a phantom. And it was a phantom pass interference call. It's bogus. But what no one's talking about is on that play, and then on the play where Patrick Mahomes ran down the sidelines on like a 20-something yard play to keep their drive alive. There were two egregious holding calls that no flags were thrown. So he's getting the Jordan rules. He's getting it's starting to look like you're going to have to be more than elite to be able to beat the Chiefs, because Patrick Mahomes is getting every single call, and that's not what we ever saw in the National Football League for years. I think it's a direct response to them thinking that them winning means Taylor Swift will come to the stadium, means money in their pockets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It ain't right. But positive note, if you're a Jets fan, Zach Wilson looked damn good. I know he had the fumble. Look, mistakes happen, and he owned up to them, which was impressive in itself. Zach Wilson looked damn good. All right, let's real quick switch over to Major League Baseball. Like I said, we're going to get more into this in tomorrow, but the Braves are going to play the winner of the Miami-Philadelphia series. That series begins Tuesday night, 8:08 first pitch. Wednesday night, 8:08 first pitch. We are going to carry both games. If there is a third game, it's Thursday night, 8:08 first pitch. We are going to carry that game right here on Braves Country Radio. Find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Right now, it looks like that the Marlins will send Lizardo versus Wheeler in that first game. I don't know if I like that. To me, if I'm the Marlins, I would have went second game Lizardo, give me a good chance to beat Nola, who stinks. He's very hittable now. And then you could really put some pressure on Philadelphia in game one, because they have Wheeler going to the mound. That's great and all, but at the same token, you better not lose that one, because you're going to be staring down the barrel of Lizardo versus Nola. Instead, they're going Braxton Garrett in game two. I still think Miami has a slight edge in that, but I don't like their edge as much in game two. And obviously, whoever loses game one in all these series, they're going to go into complete panic mode, which means game two is going to be like an elimination game type of feeling, where it doesn't matter who you have on the starting rotation, everybody's available outside of the guy who just pitched the day before. So I get it from their perspective that Lizardo can probably go pitch for pitch with Wheeler. But Wheeler's been so damn dominant that it's been so good. I would hate to burn the bullet of Lizardo in game one. I would go after him in game two. Because it doesn't mean that Braxton Garrett couldn't pitch a good game in game one. You could get super aggressive if the game's close to try to steal game one. But anyways, that's what it looks like they're going to do. And, of course, nobody's announcing game three. Most of these other teams have not announced their starting pitchers past the first. Actually, a lot of them haven't even announced their starting pitchers for game one. So we're going to deal with that on tomorrow's show, but we did want to hit that up. The other matchups are Rangers versus Rays, Blue Jays versus Twins. Rangers versus Rays, the winner of that plays Baltimore. Blue Jays versus Twins, the winner of that plays Houston. Diamondbacks, Brewers, they will face the Dodgers. And then, of course, Marlins, Phillies will play the Braves. And that's why we're going to do that series, because that series is the most important series to Braves fans. If that Marlins-Phillies series ends in two games, we will carry a deciding game three on Thursday. There's just no way to know who that is, when it is, or what time it is. But right now, all the games are set for, if they all go three, 3:08 for Rangers-Rays Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 4:38 Blue Jays-Twins Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 7:08 Diamondbacks-Brewers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Marlins-Phillies 8:08 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But they could change the times of the Thursday final games if there's only one left. Let's say it's Rangers-Rays. They don't want that being played in the middle of the afternoon. So they could change that. So there you have that. All right. Once Upon a Pastime series coming your way. Pioneers of the Game. Hope you enjoy it. We'll see you live 3 to 5, as always, tomorrow to talk the NFL, the playoffs, and a lot more.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
Can I get another cigarette, please? You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hey Braves fans, Mac McGee here with Braves Country Radio. You can find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all postseason long. Hear us right here on the radio or find us on YouTube today. You can jump in the chat with all the Braves fans during the game and listen along as the Braves march through Choptober. That's Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. This week, we are bringing you the wild card round. We'll bring you the big game of the day right here on Braves Country Radio. Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your home for the classic call, Braves Country Baseball. Hey Braves fans, Mac McGee here with Braves Country Radio. You can find us on youtube.com/@Braves Country. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all postseason long. Hear us right here on the radio or find us on YouTube today. You can jump in the chat with all the Braves fans during the game and listen along as the Braves march through Choptober. That's Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. This week, we are bringing you the wild card round. We'll bring you the big game of the day right here on Braves Country Radio. Braves Country Radio, youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your home for the classic call, Braves Country Baseball.